Before we get started with tonight's episode of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the CIMB Classic, let me talk to you about Draft. Draft.com, Draft in your app store is a great way to play fantasy sports. Snake style drafts, just the way you would like it. And they are back for PGA Tour action yet again this season. They have golf, basketball, hockey, football, baseball, the works. They do it all. They've introduced new auction styles instead of just regular snake drafts. They have, you know, best balls for football are amazing. Hopefully they bring them back for baseball. So much going on over there at Draft. Use promo code SDSports when you check out, and you'll get entry into a free $3 tournament of your choice. That's SDSports at checkout, draft.com, draft in your app store for a free $3 entry into a tournament of your choice. Also, go check out our friends over at Fanshare Sports. They do a great job of listening to all the industry's podcasts, checking out the industry's articles, and so much more, putting all the sentiments into one profile, and then they do their projected ownerships, but they are some of the best of in all of the industries. So go check them out, Fanshare Sports, fansharesports.com. Tell them the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast sent you, and enjoy. Now to this week's edition of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2018 CIMB Classic. Play. Sir. Yeah. Kane is in the building. Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Tonight, we'll preview the CIMB Classic as the tour goes from Napa to Malaysia. It seems like a logistical makes sense. Why not? Go back to a 78-man field, no cut. We so missed that. So in order to preview it, let's get it on. Jesse, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, dude. Just trying my best to get pumped up for the CIMB Classic here.
Yeah, the only good part, like you kind of mentioned, it's at least, you know, a good field. It's just, how's it going to play out? And when we get to the course is beautiful, so we can talk about that too. But before we get into that, let's get to the Safeway Open, a tournament I was really looking forward to. It panned out to be crazy, as we kind of expected with the weird field. But still, it was very, very good. Kevin Tway, Brant Snedeker, Ryan Moore go to a three-man playoff at the end. And Kevin Tway gets it in on the third playoff hole, gets his first career win. Any thoughts from Tway in the Safeway Open?
He played really good, steady golf all week long. Of the three guys that were in the playoff there, he had the lowest, highest score. So he shot 71 one day, which is still one under par. And both Moore and Sned shot over par at least one round, with Sned's coming there on the final round, which is, I wouldn't expect that out of him, especially in this field, this tournament. I didn't expect him to back up like that. But, yeah, props to Kevin Tway. He played really good steady golf all week and, still can't putt very well. But everything else came together for him for the most part. And so, yeah, breaks through with his first victory on the PGA Tour. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, first win, good field. Snedeker surprised me because it was super windy on Sunday, and Ryan Moore goes 5-under, and Sneds goes over par, which is kind of weird. Like, Moore, okay, I guess. But Snedeker, I can't remember what tournament it was a few years ago. It was so windy, and he just, like, surprised the field and just torched it. And he always had a moniker after that is he can play well in the wind. Well, apparently not. So that that changed.
That's wasn't that a Torrey?
Yeah. You're right.
He went out and got finished before the real bad wind came, because they ended up stopping it and starting the next day, and it was really bad windy. But he got most of his holes in before the bad wind came. So that's something that people think about for Sneds, but it's actually not true.
It's just a funny saying now, for him, as you're
he
saying.
He is a master on Poa Greens. Like, you should play him on just about every golf course that has Poa Greens, because he just rolls them in. I don't know how.
The one thing I enjoyed about either when I watched this or just watched like Shot Tracker on my phone throughout the day is some of these holes, I kept saying it, if you get in the trees, you're screwed. And some of these guys put up some numbers by missing the fairway. Like, it was no joke. If you get in the trees, like, you get so many shot one to the unknown. Shot, like, all these things going on. I'm like, yeah, not good, boys. Not good. Like, if you saw the guys that kept it, just hit it straight, didn't have to crush it. They scored very well here, as we talked about. So,
which is why Ryan Morris was successful
Yep.
He's a guy Irons. In the middle. Yep.
That's my boy. He's back and playing in this week too. We'll get to him pretty soon. I won't be on him this week though. I'll clarify that now. But what do you think about Phil? Phil goes out and just goes lights out Thursday and then disappears. Just kind of treads water the rest of the weekend. He finished 6 shots off the lead, which doesn't sound bad, but in reality, from where he started to where he finished was kind of bad, especially in this field. But what's your thoughts on Phil?
Yeah, man. I mean, I was pretty tilted when he came out and shot 65 the first day. He was 7 under. I believe he was tied for the lead or 1 shot back, maybe 2 shots back. I think there was somebody who shot 9 under the first day. But either way, did you hear his comments on
heavy rough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they kind of gave him
basically he's making excuses for his bad game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's fine. He's 48. He's got plenty of money. He can go play wherever he wants to. But like, I don't know why. Like, you call borderline unfair the golf course over in France for the Ryder Cup. I mean, I know the rough was up, but when you say borderline unfair, I mean that's like, you know, basically saying that. You know, that they were cheating, which is pretty bad in golf, and they weren't cheating because everybody's playing the same damn golf course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called home field advantage when you can create a course that benefits your side better than the other. And if you can't deal with it, too bad. That's
also
how it works.
Also, not to mention, he blasted the last shot that mattered for the tournament into the water.
Into the water.
Yeah. So
it's a good thing he's not playing in Kuala Lumpur. Let's just put it that way. Lots of water.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
We did see a handful of youngsters and Ryder Cup, or not Ryder Cup, web.com guys get it done. Most importantly, I think, if my math is correct, our highest finisher tied for fourth, our boy Sungjae Im, finished 13 under. Opening round was great. Didn't really light the course on fire the next 3 rounds, but still played well under par, like every day. Very, very solid. And, you know, Kevin Price was telling us all about him that, you know, the story and everything. I could literally listen to him. He only tipped the iceberg, I think, on him in our interview with him. And it's a fascinating story. And he came out and just torched it. And I was kind of thinking he'd be going and playing over in Asia this weekend, but he's not in the field that I noticed. But definitely got to keep it on the radar because he was looking really good.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely in play, I think, the rest of the fall swing and probably into the tour next year too. Because, I mean, very consistent guy who led the web.com, like, Kevin mentioned, from beginning to the end, and you got to play some really consistent good golf in order to do that. So he's definitely somebody to keep your eye on. Sam Ryder was another guy who played well last week too. And so yeah, there was quite a few who showed up, and there was just a lot of low rounds from some of these guys too. They didn't, you know, quite put a whole tournament together, which is to be expected. But Sungjae, he's a real deal. So, you know, stay on him the rest of the year. I think with this tournament, like it's only 78 players, so I don't think any web.com guys or, you know, any of those graduates are in this field this week.
Yeah, no, the guys I noticed that were kind of young, I think they were at least on tour last year.
Yeah.
And there's also a handful that got exemptions from the Asia tour, high on the money list in Asia. So I think it's like, I'm just kind of spitballing. You might have the exact numbers. It's like 60 to 65 PGA tour guys and then a handful of Asian tour players maxing it out at 78 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a combined event, Asian tour and PGA tour. So, but yeah, the majority are PGA tour players.
Well, with that being said, we could talk Safeway because I actually really, really do enjoy the Safeway. I like fields like that for some reason. The star studded fields are great. It's must see TV a lot, but something about these guys grinding, I really, really enjoy. But that's a whole another topic for another day. Let's get into the CIMB Classic over there in Kuala Lumpur. Jesse, do you have a little event history for us?
Yeah, so like you said, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, it's basically in a rainforest, more or less. They've played at this golf course every year since 2013, and scores the last 3 years especially have been really, really low. Pat Perez, your boy, beat out Keegan Bradley last year by 4 shots. I was looking at the leaderboard from last year, and the spread was, because this is a no-cut event, we've already mentioned that, there's only 78 players. Pat Perez shoots 24 under, and DA points was 18 over. So yeah, and he won by 4 shots. I mean, Pat played really well last year, won the golf tournament by 4 shots over Keegan Bradley. And then previous to that, basically two back-to-back winners, Justin Thomas in 2016, 2015. He was in the mid-20s as well. And then Ryan Moore, the 2 years prior to that, so 14 and 13. Scores were a little bit higher at that point. It was 17 under and 14 under, but should be a lot of birdies to be had here. And you know, it's a pretty easy golf course.
Yep, it's very easy if you stay out of trouble. It's the TPC Kuala Lumpur, the West Course. It's a par 72, around 7,000 yards for the tournament tips. For some reason, it was next to impossible for me to find an actual scorecard for this event, but we're going around 7,000 yards. And it sounds short because it is short, but what this course does is it is a shot maker's thinker's course. There's they went over a renovation last year. So in 91, it was the Nelson and Wright group, and then Perslow's associates joined them when they renovated it the last two times in 08. And then this past year, putting in all new greens. So the greens now will be Tiff Eagle Bermuda, and the fairways will be the fairways and the tee boxes will be Celebration Bermuda. So it's the same grass combos as the TPC Sawgrass. Something to keep in mind there. And kind of the format of the course kind of resembles a lot of Sawgrass. There is a gigantic lake around the ninth hole. There's lakes all over the place. There is at least 13 holes. They extended some of the water hazards to make them even more in play this year. There's at least 13 holes with water in play, which is just outstanding. They added 50 more bunkers. There's bunkers throughout the fairways, around the greens, making you hit your right shots. If you try to pound it deep, there's bunkers in your way. There's water to come into. So it's not that you can't hit your driver here, but it's definitely more of a – it kind of reminds you of – Paris, where you need to hit your shots, stay out of the water, and you can score here. It's very, very scoreable, like you said. It should be a lot of, you know, long irons, three woods, and then you can wedge it in. That's why guys like Ryan Moore had success here. That's why Pat Perez, who's a lot of three woods, has success here. That's why Justin Thomas, even though he's a bomber, has success here, because he can play with his brain and not with his brawn. There's a difference between some of these bombers. That's kind of what you're looking at here. Greens will be much, much faster than in years past. So that'd be interesting to keep an eye on that, see how that affects things with this new green type. They're already playing a lot, lot faster. It's the 78th best course in the entire world out of the top 100. So it tells you how nice of a course it is. It's super green. You mentioned rainforest. It's in a nature preserve. So it's a beautiful course. It's fun to watch. We get primetime evening viewing to watch it here in the in the USA, I should say, for both of us. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway for me, it's a shot maker's deal. You got to be able to hit your irons, and there's plenty of angles into the greens. As long as you stay in the fairway, you'll be just fine. Any key stats you're looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. Obviously, tee to green, I mean, you know, when you think about Ryan Moore and Justin Thomas, who are multiple winners here, they have really good tee to green games. So I will weight that. Greens and regulation, I think, is another key stat for this week. And also just looking at, I mean, it's going to be difficult, but like if you're using Fantasy National Golf Course or Golf Club or whatever, you know, you can change up and kind of look at like easy golf courses relative to par. You can, you know, use greens, Bermuda greens as a kind of a different factor. So, I mean, those are types of things that'll make you find somebody's a little bit different. And because it's 78 players. So, I mean, you know, ownership's going to be high. You know, they've changed everything up. It's in Malaysia, you know, jet lag, the whole nine yards.
You just mentioned that there. Before we get into the players, what's your thoughts? Because there's a good handful of guys that played in Napa, flew out on Sunday to come to Malaysia to play in this tournament. What's your thoughts on those? Because I think we talked about it last year, but, you know, some guys do very well still, some don't. But are you making an impact on either one?
No, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it could weigh it a little bit. But like, it won't just totally take me off a guy if I like him.
All right. Talking about a little fan share sports for the safe or for the CMB Classic before we get started here. Last year at this tournament, you mentioned Pat Perez won. He had 150.5 DraftKings points. Second was Keegan Bradley. Then you had Danny Lee, Xander, Cam Smith, Uline, Casey, Stugo, Sink, Cabrera Bello, and Ollie Schneiderjans. There were eight guys over 100 DraftKings points last year. Ollie and above the top 10 were 97 or more. So DraftKings points are going to be very, very important this week. When you look at the guys coming in really good form, I think it could be a nice thing to keep an eye on for an event like this. And given there's been a lot of time off, so recent form, this was a big discussion last week. We know how we feel about recent form in course history, but some of these guys have more time off than others. But coming into the event, top 10, Xander's first, Sam Ryder's averaging almost 85 DraftKings points, Gary Woodland, Kevin Tway, Kukrak, Snedeker, Kevin Na, CT Pan, who was red hot at the end of the year, Bryce Garnett, and Emiliano Grillo. If you want to take it back to the last six events, though, you got HV3 is leading the way, who actually did very well for you last week, Jesse. Kevin Tway's in second. CT Pan's up to third if you take it back to six events. Woodland, Sam Ryder again, RCB, Billy Ho cracks the top 10. Kukrak, Justin Thomas is ninth, and Cam Smith. So a couple of the regulars there, and then some really interesting names coming in really, really good form to keep an eye on at this event. And I think I'll leave it at that. You know, they said the course resembles Sawgrass, but I don't know if we want to get too much into comparing those two courses, those types of fields, that kind of deal. So
yeah, I think it's a totally different ball game.
I'll stay away from that one. But with that being said, again, check out Fanshare Sports. Their stuff's amazing, especially when it comes to ownership projections and all that good stuff. So go check them out for golf and football. It'd be really, really good stuff. But let's get at it. Let's get to your DraftKings picks for the week. 10K and above, you got five guys to choose from. Justin Thomas at 11.7, Ryan Moore at 10.9, Billy Ho at 10.7, Xander at 10.4, and Paul Casey is back in the 10,000s at 10.2. What do you like up here, Jesse?
Well, I mean, so we're back to kind of regularly scheduled programming where you can make a case for all these guys. I do think probably Ryan Moore will be a super popular pick this week. I could see JT, even though he's the highest price, being popular as well. He is the star of this field, and world ranking wise, he's way above the rest. But my two favorite plays, especially from ownership perspective, and I don't know how popular things will be because, again, 78 players, so it's all relative. But Billy Ho, coming into the week, obviously playing really, really well. You know, he was second his last time out at the Tour Championship, third and third the two times before that. So I do like him. He has played well here in the past. He's an 11th in 2013 and a 37th in 2014. So not a whole lot of weight on those two finishes, but it does, you know, say that he has been over here and can play before now. The other player who I think probably will be the least chalky of the whole entire bunch here is Paul Casey. He does have the back deal, so that kind of concerns me a little bit. But when I look at easy golf courses and Bermuda greens, he's number one on my model for the week. So I think he's very interesting at 10-2. So the two plays for me will be Billy and Paul up top here.
Yeah, I like that a lot. JT is definitely in play for me. When we talk about no-cut events, DraftKings scoring, Justin Thomas is a machine. This is a week where I think I want to be balanced, but there's some scrubs I actually don't mind taking a chance on in a no-cut event. So JT might fit in there pretty well at 11-7. And again, like you said, he could be very, very popular as well. The other guy for me is Billy Ho. Team PXG won here last year. Wouldn't be surprised if Team PXG is contending to win here again this year, this time with Billy Ho. Coming in phenomenal form, like you mentioned. Great ball striker, one of the top players in greens regulation in this field. Birdie or better percentage is top 30 in the PGA. He's just been really, really good when it comes to playing golf these days. And outside of the withdrawal when he had the shits, he's been playing great. So I think he's going to come in and play really, really well here. In the past, he's played well here at T11 and T37 in his two appearances. So I like Billy Ho quite a bit at 10-7. If I'm not going to go up to Justin, I could definitely see me going to some Billy Ho. Not a problem at all in that range. Let's get to the 9Ks where we have a $9,900 Keegan Bradley, who, yes, runner up here last year. $9,900 for Keegan Bradley. Yeah, Mark Leishman at 9,800, Gary Woodland at 97, Grillo at 95, RCB at 93, Sneds at 91, Kyle Stanley at 9,000. A very interesting range here, Jesse. Who do you like?
Not much, but I do like Gary Woodland. 11th at the Tour Championship, 12th at the BMW Championship, hitting a ton of greens in both of those events and also hitting a lot of fairways. I mean, he's a bomber, but either way, I think that price is okay for him. I do think that in this range, It's hard to pin down who's going to be the most popular. Obviously, Keegan second last year, coming off a win semi-recently in the last couple of weeks. So will he carry a lot of ownership? I don't know. Brandt potentially could, coming off the playoff loss last week. And I don't know, like when you look at Brandt Snedeker, he does well on certain, basically certain courses. He's not a guy who plays every single golf course really, really well. Which I mean, there's very few and far between of those guys, but you know, he's a POA specialist. So I don't know if I like him on Bermuda greens or not. Kyle Stanley's interesting at 9,000, ball striker extraordinaire, 15th, the tour championship, which is only 30 players. So he finished halfway, but no, he's interesting in a guy who I think at 9,000 is worth a look.
I like Kyle quite a bit. I'll get there in a second, but I'll start with Keegan Bradley at 99, only for the fact I don't think people are going to pay that price tag at all. In his last 2 years here, he's got a second and a sixth. He was 10th here 5 years ago, so three of his four times at this tournament, top 10 or higher, coming in, we know, in really, really good form. When it comes to his approach game, he's it's second in this field, it looks like. At nine, it's pretty damn good. But $900 for Keegan Bradley, definitely a pivot off of ownership play there. I do like Gary Woodland quite a bit. The fact he can play his three wood and then iron it in or wedge it in at 97, like really, really good. His approach game, his around the green game, is a birdie or better percentage is all really, really good right now. The T11, T12, his last two events. He's finished T2 or better here twice in his five attempts. So definitely a guy with some course history that I really, really like at 9,700. A couple other guys. Bellows, always a guy, RCB, that gets my attention. His last 2 years are his only times playing here. He's T10 both times. And he's one of those guys that when he's really, really playing well, he is an elite golfer. And he just never gets the respect. And $9,300, I think RCB could be a very interesting pivot play. He's got the ability to get a ton of birdies. It could be a big-time drafting score if he's locked in. So I like him in a no-cut event at $9,300 because there's certain times where he bombs it too much and gets himself in trouble. But with the no-cut event, I kind of like the upside there for RCB at 9,300. And then the guy I like, you mentioned Kyle Stanley. He's one of my favorite plays in this week. I love Stanley at these kind of courses. I've said it many, many times. When you need ball strikers, when you need iron plays, when you need to be a shot maker course, I love Kyle Stanley. The putting is always an issue. There's no doubt about it. But in a no-cut event where he's going to have a lot of birdie chances, I'll take it all day long. So Stanley at $9,000, I love. He's one of my favorite plays on the week. Let's get to the 8K range where we have the likes of Binion, Usti, Brendan Grace, Kevin Na, J.B. Holmes, who played really well last week, Cam Smith, the defending champion, Pat Perez, Kevin Tway, the winner last week in Napa, Danny Lee, and C.T. Pan. This is a group of players that should be very, very, very chalky. Let's just put it that way. I think Kevin Na won't be, and I kind of like it because iron play, ball striking, stay in play and stay out of the water. He can be tilting as all hell, but at $8,600, I don't mind taking a chance on a Kevin Na type. Cam Smith, he's played very, very well here. If he can like not bomb it into the water, he's got two T5s to this event in three trips. So $8,400 for Cam Smith is very intriguing. If you just want to play the course history card and nothing else, Pat Perez, he's made four straight cuts, plus a withdrawal in there on the PGA Tour. But his four tournaments here, a first, a T33, a 63, and a T33. So, three of the 4 years, he's been decent. He's $8,300. Someone to keep an eye on here if you want to go that direction. I think Danny Lee at $8,100, very, very good. T7 here last year, coming in really good form. Another kind of ball striker, iron player when it comes to that. And CT Pan, I think, will be incredibly popular at $8,000. He finished the year playing great golf, really, really good golf. He T17 here last year. So CT Pan, I think, is a great play at $8,000. He should be a popular play at $8,000. That doesn't mean don't play him, but just be aware that the ownership should be pretty high on CT Pan. But it's definitely a range I could see some attraction at. What do you like at the 8Ks, Jesse?
You know, I don't know. Again, not much. I think Binion is playable. Louis Oosthuizen is interesting to me. He's not played here since 2014, but he finished second then, finished first in 2012, which is a totally different golf course. But and he's making cuts consistently. I hope he brings his own mattress. I think he should be low owned. Brandon Grace has some decent course history around here, not great, but I don't know if I want to pay $8,700 for him. It's just in this range, like there's not a whole heck of a lot that I like. I wouldn't mind. I don't think Kevin Na, like you mentioned, Pat Perez. I think he'll be popular, though, with the win last year. But, you know, we've talked about this golf course is going to be different than it was last year or so, or in years past. So I don't know that I like too awful much of him either. Kevin Tway, I wouldn't play him for a while. CT Pan, I can get behind too. Finished 17th here last year, so that's about it for me in this range.
All right, let's head into the 7K range. We don't have to go 7,500 above. We just do the whole 7K range. You got CH3, Hostler, Ryder, Uline, Reavy, Bergoon, Peters, Siwoo Kim, Walker, your boy, Affie Barnrat, Chappie, Sink, Piercy, Answer, Cook, Kokrak, Watney, Dahman, Garnett, Hoagie. And that actually does it. So Stu Goat in the house. What do you like him in the 7K range, Jesse?
I love Sam Ryder again. I'm going to continue to ride him. He's playing very well right now. Finished, obviously, fourth, tie for fourth last week. Made a bunch of cuts in a row on tour. Big fan of his. So I will continue to stay on him. I think Thomas Peters is kind of interesting. He did fit, he has a couple top 20s here, 15 and 14. You know, he's the kind of guy that's like a super poor man's John Rahm. He can make a lot of birdies or he can just break all of his clubs. And so he's interesting to me at that price. I think he's worth a shot. Jimmy Walker is potentially playable. He did finish sixth here in 2013. He's not playing super well, so I don't know how much I would actually play of him. But two more of my favorite plays are Kevin Chappell and Stuart Sink. I saw you tweet about Stu Goat before we got on the pod here, and I'm a fan of his again this week because, again, looking at easy golf courses on Bermuda, he plays well. He's played here. You know, he played here last year, finished 13th. So I do like him at that price quite a bit. I think Kokrak is another guy, ball striker. You know, if he gets the putter going, he could make a lot of birdies here. And again, no cut event. Kokrak, I think, is playable.
I like that Kokrak call. He'll get way overlooked. And it's one of those, like you said, no cut. You can gamble on a guy like Kokrak because he will more often than not put himself in a chance to score. So
yeah,
at that price point at $7,100
or in a non place to score.
Yeah, this is true. He'll either look like me out there or he'll look like a PGA Tour player.
So, I mean, yeah, when he gets it going, he's really, really good. But so no cut event, you know, if you're playing $105 or whatever they got out this week, $6 lineups, I think he's worth 10 or 20.
Yeah, definitely. And if anything, he always goes low on Thursday to get your hopes up for the weekend. Like, he's good at that. He's good at being like in the top five by Thursday.
He scores all of his points on Thursday and then and then gives them all back the rest of the week.
Yeah, he goes and finds the 19th hole, and you never see him again. Let's get into for my 7K guys. You know, CH3 is very interesting to me here. He's had some really good success at this course. Another guy that kind of, you know, don't have to bomb it too much, stay in play. He could be interesting at $7,900. I love Sam Ryder, just like you. I rode him again last week, and he's just been playing so well. Big eagles over the weekend. A lot to like there with Sam Ryder. Ches Reavy, you know, you can play with your irons. He fits a course, I guess, at 7,600. It's hard for me, though, because like a no-cut event, I don't know if he's got the gumption, I guess, to go super low, even though we've seen it happen. Like if you're playing just cash for some reason in 78 fields, A, you know, go seek Gamblers Anonymous. But B, I think he's a very solid play to just be consistently not bury your team with some upside at $7,600. After the Chesticle, we got Chappie at $7,300 on a no-cut event. I like Chappie kind of bit, actually. This is a guy that can just, you know, he can torch courses, easy courses, and he can also just get abused if he – like, he's one of those guys that can see fine in the water four or five times around. Mm-hmm. He can also birdie fest at times. So I think he's a very interesting GPP play for me at $7,300. He's got a T13 here in one of his four trips, T29, T25, and two others. So he's played well at this course, especially at $7,200. The Stu Goat, enough to be said there. You nailed it on easy courses like this where he doesn't have to play Bomber's Paradise at $7,200. I love Stuart at this course. I really, really like Stu at this course. He will be a core of mine. I will ride or die with the Stu Goat all day long. Abraham Answer is interesting to me here at $7,100. Coming in really good form. Withdrew last weekend, which kind of gets you wondering why, but maybe he said, screw it. I'm in a no-cut event next week, and let me go get some rest and go to Malaysia and get comfortable and acclimated and go get paid. I have no idea what he was thinking, but that's just the kind of twist I'll put on it.
Did you say Answer? Answer's on the field, is he?
Yeah, $7,100.
71?
It's too damn cheap. Way too cheap.
Huh.
Yeah, he's in play. At $7,100. I think he'll be very popular at $7,100. Unless he withdrew recently, but I looked this morning and he was still there. So
no, I hadn't seen him withdraw. I just didn't know he just went in the field because he's in the field on Fantasy Golf or Fantasy National Golf Club, but for some reason he's not on the field and on Fantasy Lab. So
yeah, $7,100, Abraham Answer, lock and load. So I like him quite a bit. And then, you know, I like your Coke Rock call, and there's a couple other guys, maybe ownership-wise. There's good players down here. If this is a cut event, I'd actually really like this area. The fact that it's no cut, you kind of play around a little more, but we'll see how it all plays out. All right, let's get into the 6K range. A lot of good golfers, a lot of Asian tour players. I am not going to read them all off, but Jesse, what are some of the guys you're liking in the 6K range? Plus, Davis loved the thirds down here. Just throw that out there for fun.
There's when you get down past, it's basically about 66. It turns into the Asian tour for the most part. But Andrew Putnam at 69, never played here. Obviously, a guy we've talked about on this podcast several times. But 16th at the BMW Championship. I made made like 6-7 cuts in a row on tour. So I like him in a no-cut event here. JJ Spahn is okay at 6,700. He's actually played decently well for him. I mean, making cuts and finishing top 50, I guess. Ollie Snyderjans is interesting. So he finished 23rd here last year, and he has been trash his last three tournaments. He shot 78 last week. He shot 77 at the Dell. But again, no cut event. He can reel them off like we've talked about before already. And eventually he's going to figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm. T23 here last year.
I mean, but he's been awful the last year or so. But, if you're playing some GPPs, I think he's worth a gamble because nobody should be on him. As far as the European or the Asian tour players, there's a couple down here. Scott Vincent is one. He plays mostly European and Asian tours. You know, three straight top 15s with a second and a seventh, playing some kind of outlier tours. Justin Harding is another guy. 10th, 4th, 2nd in his last three tournaments. John Catlin won his last time out on the Asian Tour, 17th, 9th, 8th. I mean, you're not really expecting a whole hell of a lot out of these guys, but I mean, if you're down here, kind of bottom dwelling, I would avoid it. There's going to be probably one that comes out of this range, but you know, exactly who it's going to be, I don't know. So, like, my favorite plays would be would be Putnam and Spahn probably.
I like Putnam quite a bit. I like your call there at $6,900. He's too cheap in this field. Let's put it that way. It's the best way I could say it. It's too cheap. Brian Gay is another kind of ball striker. Doesn't get in too much trouble. Going to be slow and steady. Gets to the finish. I could see him finishing like 12 or 13 under. You know, finishing T20 ish or so at $6,900. I'll take that all day long. But the guy here, I'm praying to God he's not chalky, but I have a feeling he might be. For all those course history haters out there, T10, T3, T21 his last three times, T52, T35. So T21 or better, that's three straight. T35 or better at four or five. He's $6,900. His name is Anubhav Lahiri, and he is a DraftKings scoring machine. Literally, he might have like three double bogeys each round, but he also might have nine birdies each round. This guy can score, score, score. So I love Lahiri in a field like this, in a tournament like this. I think he's really, really good to play here. I'm just curious what his ownership's going to be because you don't have to avoid all the chalk, but a little too much chalk at times can be a little bad for your health. So, Lahiri at 69 is a guy I like, but keep an eye on that one. Again, check out Fanshare Sports. Check out the Sports DGen Slack chat. We'll talk about it all in there. Ryan Armour's a guy coming in some pretty decent form. We liked at 6,800. Brendan Steele actually comes out good here at this tournament. He's $6,800. T53 last weekend. We said how horrible he was playing. He played well until the weekend in Napa, so course history might have something to do with it there. He's T13, T26, T3, T25 in his four tournaments here. Again, don't have to be a bomber. So at $6,700 could be, or 68 could be very interesting here. Scott Stallings at 66, if you want to get really weird, because no one will own him. He's actually played really well at this tournament as well. He's $6,600. Where did he go? Right there. T39, T19, T47 is three trips. Back-to-back made cuts, made four of his last five cuts on the PGA Tour. So he's interesting at 66. And the only dart I will throw below 66 is Satoshi Kudahara. Unless he's hurt, I don't know about it. He's $6,300. He is the number 49th player in the world. He plays in WGC tournaments and plays okay. He might bury you, but the fact he's a top 50 world golfer at $6,300, I don't understand what the pricing is here. I really do not get this one at all. I know he's not the best player. Let me know if I'm missing something. I know he's not great, but in a no-cut event, if you're that talented, you should be a little more expensive than this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he won the Heritage last year, but he's missed a shit ton of cuts.
Oh, he's going to be – it could be a – he could be that guy like DA points last year. There's no question in that. But at $6,300, this guy can contend.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, obviously, he can – he's a past winner on the PGA Tour, and the Heritage isn't necessarily the best field, but it's still a PGA Tour event. So, he beat Siwoo last year and cost me a couple $1,000. I remember that. So
sorry to bring it up. My bad. But I was going through it all. I'm like, how the hell is he next to Davis Love at the bottom of the pricing? I couldn't wrap my head around it. I'm not saying I'm going there, but if you want an ultimate putt, you could pair him and JT up and do a lot of damage still with your lineup. It's just a way to kind of differentiate yourself, because a lot of people aren't going to want to go down to $6,300. So it'll be like just right there playing him alone, praying he comes through, will already differentiate yourself a ton. It should, at least, in my opinion. That's why I wanted to bring him up. Get weird that way. You don't have to worry about – you can play Lahiri. You can play those kind of guys that are going to be chalky. All right, that wraps up the 78-man field for the tournament, Jesse. Let's get a little more concentrated here, a little more down to business. Give me some of your punts for the week.
Putnam would be number one for me. I mean, if you're super low, you know, looking at a guy like Vincent or Harding, or actually Catlin or Vincent would be my other two.
Lahiri, Steele, and Satoshi Kudahara. I'm sorry. I'm not good at this game. It's not even trying to be rude. Kudera, I think is what it is. Those would be the three I'll be looking at.
Yeah.
All right. Who do you got busting this week?
Man,
give me a 9K and a 10K.
So in the 9K, I'll go with Leishman. He always seems to be overowned and like starts really well and then it doesn't play very well. So I'll go Leishman there. And then in the 10Ks, I'm gonna go with Ryan Moore.
Yeah, go again. Back to your horse.
So, yeah, hell, I called him a bust last week and that was awful.
He was one of my favorite plays last week.
I know he was. You made a great call there, and I made a terrible call.
Trust me, we will even out by the time the season's over. Mine will be in the 9Ks. Emiliano Grillo at $9,500. I didn't offer him last week. He had one good day. The rest of it was just really a massive roller coaster ride. So I'm going to kind of go off of him. And then I hate to do it to you, Paul Casey. I'm not feeling him this week. I hate it. It hurts my heart as a member of the AP crew to say Paul Casey, but I'm going there. Who's your core for the week?
Core, Billy Ho, Sam Ryder, for sure. And like I said, I do like Casey quite a bit, but you know, it kind of scares me a little bit with his injury. But those two, and then I do like Stuart Sink too.
Yeah, Billy Ho, the Stew Goat, Kyle Stanley. Those will be three I'll be looking at really, really hard. I like those guys quite a bit this week. Like, really, really like them. Who do you have winning this thing?
Billy Horschel wins.
Yeah. I got Billy Ho as well. And if not Billy Ho, I got Kyle Stanley. I think we saw him towards the end of the year play really, really good and get really close and kind of just slip up at the end. I think he could make this really interesting this week. I think at least a top 10 at worst for Kyle Stanley. I think he competes for the win this weekend. Really good.
So a guy who's not a favorite, I would go with Woodland.
I like that too. I do like Woodland quite a bit. So there's a lot of guys here. Like lineup strategy, this is kind of spitball for a minute here. You can go Stars and Scrubs, which I mentioned. You can go Kudera or somebody, and JT or Ho or something like that. Or I'm wondering, you know, take two guys out of the 9K and you go like maybe Woodland, Stanley, Woodland, RCB. Something like that, you can get really different. Go with the 9K and a couple 8Ks. What are some ideas you might be kind of tinkering with?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's going to be Stars and Scrubs week. I do like the guys up in the 10K range and then quite a bit sevens, so that'll be it for me. But leaving money on the table, it's really the only way to differentiate. I mean, they're at least probably 80% at least will use 49,500 or more. So if even if you just leave $600, you're almost guaranteed to be different than and that's half the battle. Most people, you know, obviously it's cool if you want to if you got to hit the nuts 50K used and you split 100K or 50K or whatever, then that's awesome. But you know, you don't be drawn dead before lock or at lock.
Yeah, I agree. I remember
splitting it seven ways or 15 ways. You know what I mean? It's like a showdown slate of Monday Night Football tonight.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a fun one too. But you've tweeted it in the past, and if you don't remember, that's fine. I know like some of the recent no-cut events, you put percentages down for people. You were saying like, what was the percentage of like 49,000 or less?
Oh, it's almost non-existent, but basically it's pretty much 80 to 90% will use 49,500 or more. So there's only 10% of lineups that are using less, leaving at least $600 on the table.
Okay, gotcha.
So you're going to be in that 10% if you leave that, you know, if you do it that way. So I mean, even, you know, I've been known to leave up to, you know, a couple thousand. Just depends on the week, but this week especially, 78 players. You know, anytime you got a no-cut field that's this small, you've got to do something to try to get different.
Yep. Focus on birdie players, focus on DraftKings scoring, focus on shot accuracy, stuff like that, because that's going to be the way of the world these days.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, Jesse, before we wrap it up?
The only thing is, and I would say, if you got a lineup that you 50K and you like it, just, you know, play it. I mean, I'm not saying that you should just go blow up your lineup because you've got not leaving $600 on the table, but you know, if you've got $600 on the table or more, and you like your lineup, you know, I like the chances of that being a unique lineup. So, other than that, yeah, it's 78 player PGA Tour event. So, I mean, I can't wait till we finally get some like consistent cut events.
I was looking at the upcoming schedule, Jesse, and as much as I like some of these tournaments, it's going to be a rocky few weeks. Let's just put it that way. I was already looking forward to the Sanderson Cup and the Shriners in Vegas. I'm already looking forward to those. Let's put it that way.
Those are a couple weeks out. Well, the Nine Bridges, the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges, that's a fun tournament because that's a great golf course.
That'll be good. But then you got WGC again.
Yeah, WGC. But yeah, I mean, that Sanderson's Farms one, it's going to be a really it'll be fun because there's not gonna, like, we're going to have like a $10,000 Grayson Murray or something.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Kevin Tway will be 11-5 after this week.
Yeah, I doubt he plays though now, I would say.
True.
Because I wouldn't make it down to Jackson, Mississippi for that golf tournament. Either way, we're going to be back. We'll be back tomorrow night for the recap of the 2017-2018 year, correct? Yep,
that's the game plan. Cool. That's the game plan. Yep, it's another special edition podcast. So we'll get that banged out for you. But until then, check us out on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Jesse is at DFS Golf Gods. I am at BDEntric. Come join us in the Slack chat with any questions you have. Other than that, good luck this week. This was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2018 CIMB Classic. Catch you later. Sure, no, no, no,